Thank you for staying with Sharad and I on Consider This. Let's continue our conversation about high-risk populations and protecting them from future outbreaks of COVID-19. Joining us on the line, Gerald Joseph, one of the commissioners for the National Human Rights Commission of Malaysia, better known as Suhakam. Gerald, good evening. Thank you for joining us today. Now, I understand you've done work for Suhakam focusing on prisons, immigration detention centres, as well as Pusat Serenti or drug rehabilitation centres in Malaysia. Now, when it comes to conditions that could potentially contribute to the spread of infectious disease, what have you found? What have you observed?
Thank you, and Samaya Raya, Melissa.
Oh, thank you.
Prisons are overcrowded. Immigration depots are bursting, as it seems. While even during normal times, it is a tough ask for minimum standards for health care because of the overcrowding of about almost 30% in prison and also in the immigration center. So I think the overcrowding is the largest issue when you talk about handling this pandemic, this COVID situation. Plus, also some prisons are very old. Some immigration depots are also very old. And so water could be an issue, sanitation, hygiene, clean conditions. And so I think it is really tough for the authorities to ensure that COVID doesn't spread in these places. So, but if it gets in, like now we know it's got in, it's really going to be tough to maintain and to ensure that it doesn't spread widely like what it can do like in Singapore.
Gerald, I want to ask you about, I mean, just to give us a sense of what the conditions are like. You said maybe in some older prisons, not enough running water available or easily available. What about the room situation? How many prisoners are packed into a room? And, you know, would this apply to the drug rehab centres? Would it apply to even the lockups in our police stations?
Actually, every prison, every cell, it's gazetted by law and it has a number attached to it. So I can give you an example. This is the Taiping prison cell. It was designed for, and you look at the conditions, at most, three people can sleep, but I've seen 5-6% there. You can imagine Sungai Buloh, designed for 2,000 plus, it's holding 4,000 plus now, similar to Kajang. So whatever was designed as per law, they have no choice because there are more and more sentinels coming. So that means the numbers have doubled in some of this high-intensity prison because of the numbers of people coming from the court. So immediately you will ask questions about would they have enough space to move around? Would there be enough officials to manage such a large number? Would the water supply to these prisons were designed for half the capacity now, with double the capacity, would they be able to address enough water, drinking water, cleaning,
right,
cleanliness? Yeah.
Well, Gerald, just before the break, we spoke to a former Director General of the Prisons Department, Tan Sri Zaman Khan, and he mentioned that some prisons, there's only one doctor on the premises. Now, what has been your observations about health services in prisons? Are they adequate to prevent and anticipate infections and diseases or even treat them?
Actually, we are very glad that there is a doctor placed permanently in all prisons as opposed to an immigration detention facility that there's no doctor, there's just a medical assistant. And a doctor in these centers have two or three assistants, but it's never enough because the numbers are huge and the numbers have increased. But it is so good to have a facility, to have a full-time trained doctor as part of the services who can respond immediately and do checks. And every prisoner that goes in gets checked before they are registered inside. So, I mean, there is a protocol, but whether it's adequate or not, I mean, that's something that you can already guess knowing the 35% overcrowding. So it's definitely not adequate. And medicine will also be scarce because of the numbers. And also the biggest issue we have seen is cabbies in the almost all prisons whenever we visit. The prisoners just come and show us their itch and all their scratching and because of scabies. And scabies is caused by a mite, and it's actually about clean environment, dry and not damp, but it's cyclical. I mean, you can clear it up, but the mites will still be there. So this is already shows the conditions of how difficult it is for common medical issues in the prison or the depots.
Gerald, you know, there was an issue of tuberculosis, and of course we also know that these diseases, because they're so infectious, don't infect only the inmates. They actually also expose the staff to infections. What can you tell us about that tuberculosis situation in our prisons?
I think you're right. The danger of any infectious disease, any disease can impact officers as well as the prisoners or the immigration detainees. Tuberculosis, all prisons and even the detention facilities will then isolate them to a separate cell. So I think there's a protocol that they are following if once they find out someone has TB. But this is when you know and you find out. But I know prisons then will, even despite their overcrowdedness, they will then isolate patients away to an end, to a corner, to a separate prison that does not interact with other prisoners. So I think despite the difficult conditions, they are trying. Mm-hmm. And I think, yeah, some officers have also contracted TB or some other diseases inside as part of their work. So they are not immune to this.
Well, in the concern of addressing COVID-19 and addressing and stopping the spread of the disease, many public health officials have raised the alarm around the centres, prisons, drug rehabilitation centres, immigration depots, and they've also advised against incarcerating MCO offenders. Now, I'm just wondering whether now the DG of Health has actually pointed out that this is a high-risk area, high-risk population. Whether it's too late that authorities are acting now, whether you know, we should have been including prisons and all these centres, detention centres, in our public health response from the start, from the very beginning.
That's the immediate concern when COVID outbreak happened. Suhakam had our consultations and sent letters advising prisons, police, immigration on our worry and some proposals on how to decrease the numbers. Prison was very forthcoming. They were very proactive. They even proposed to the government to limit the numbers, to contain it. Police said they are working on protocols at the lockups, which we have seen instituting. But the immigration depot, initially we heard the depots are closed, so no one goes in or goes out. We thought, okay, that's a good way to manage COVID. But then comes the operations to arrest people in the EMCO, and we thought that was not necessary while it was legal to do so, and the law is on the side of government because people without documents. But what is the necessity? What is the urgency for such action at this point of time? Because the most fundamental issue now is public health, and we wanted always to ensure that whoever has disease outside doesn't bring it in, and people without documents who are already vulnerable and afraid of authorities. This is not a justification that people should be allowed to live without documents here. It's an offense. But at this point, if you are afraid to come forward to a medical officer for treatment, that's a danger for all Malaysians and all in Malaysia. So we thought it was a wrong move. And immediately after the three raids done, you see the numbers spike in the two or three detention facilities. And I hope, I'm happy to hear the numbers have gone down today.
Yes.
I'm really hoping it will not go up in any other centres. Well,
we're going to keep a close eye on those numbers. Gerald, thank you so much for speaking with us tonight. Unfortunately, that's all the time we have for you in this episode of Consider This. I'm Melissa Idris.
And I'm Sharad Kutin, signing off for this evening.
Thank you so much for watching, and good night.